Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll-free 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
All right, Jerry Usher here filling in today, and we thank you for listening. Wherever you happen to be, it's good to have you tuned in. It's a tough act to follow, Joe Scheidler, but I'll tell you what, there are a few people who can follow him and still do a great job. And one of those we have on this hour, Stephanie Gray, a seasoned and international speaker. She began speaking at the age of 18, and her audiences are vast, including medical students, churches of various denominations, even seminaries, high schools, pro-life organizations. She's done hundreds of media interviews, and her media experience was really garnered, a lot of it anyway, when she spent 12 years as executive director and co-founder of the Canadian Center for Bioethical Reform. That was a ministry that took her to Alberta and Ontario, and not too long ago, she returned to her home province, British Columbia, and now speaks on behalf of her ministry, Love Unleashes Life. Stephanie, welcome back to Catholic Answers Live.
Thank you, Jerry. I only wish I was in person because it is freezing in Canada right now.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm actually, as our listeners know, I'm in the Seattle area hosting the show, and it's felt like the kind of the frozen Arctic here the last couple of weeks as well. And I'm not too far from you, actually, if you're in BC.
Well, this is true. Exactly. I know it's unusually cold in the Pacific Northwest, and of course, inching up to the Vancouver area where I live, we are getting this crazy Arctic cold front. So,
yeah. Well, it's such a blessing to have you with us, and we're going to get to our listeners' questions. And by the way, here's the phone number. It's 888-318-7884. Folks, you've got a tremendous opportunity here to ask Stephanie Gray any questions on the life issues. And if we don't get these right, we go off the tracks, off the rails, and a lot of other things just simply go wrong in our society and our culture. So if you would like to ask about the morality of contraception or the dangers of contraception, there are links that have been proven between, for example, abortion and breast cancer. If you want to ask about abortion, if you want to, we can talk about end-of-life issues. That involves, of course, euthanasia, and just what is required care at the end of life. Maybe you're caring for someone who is at the end stages of life. We can talk stem cell research, how to explain this to a world that sometimes just doesn't really understand these issues. So the number again is 888-318-7884. And Stephanie, first of all, congratulations. I know it's been just about a year since your book, Love Unleashes Life, subtitled Abortion and the Art of Communicating Truth. And you'd like to encourage people still to get a copy of that.
Yes, that's right, Jerry. Thanks for mentioning that. You know, after doing pro-life work on a full-time basis for over a decade and meeting so many people over the years, I started to see that it wasn't just enough to know the intellectual arguments against abortion. We also needed to know how to communicate those to a very wounded culture, because with there being, you know, over a million abortions a year in the United States, 100,000 a year in Canada, over 40 million a year throughout the world, we meet so many people who have been touched by abortion. If they haven't had one themselves, their mothers or their sisters or their girlfriends or their nieces and nephews or nieces, or, you know, have. And so many have been touched by abortion. We really have to craft a way to communicate to people, not just, as I say, on an intellectual level, but being able to reach their heart so that we win the person and not just the argument. And so my book really comes from this decade plus long experience of interacting with so many people over time that I began to tweak and craft my arguments and messages to better reach the kinds of individuals that I was encountering. And it's written in a way to help listeners know how to talk to their family members and their colleagues and their friends on this topic. So if people go to my website, which is my name, that's stephaniegray.info, stephaniegray.info, and that's Gray with an A, they can click on the link for the book and see how to order it there.
Very good. Folks, do that. I really strongly encourage you to get a copy of that. Again, stephaniegray.info is the website. And the book's title, Love Unleashes Life, Abortion and the Art of Communicating Truth. And if you would like to ask directly a question of Stephanie on Catholic Answers Live today, it's 888-318-7884. Okay, Stephanie, let's start in with some questions here. Olga held on from hour number one. Yeah, in San Diego. Olga, thank you very much. You are first up with Stephanie this hour. Hello.
Well, hi, I'm right here, Jerry. Thank you so much, Stephanie. God bless you for all your hard work in the life issue. I have a question for you, but I hope you don't mind. And Jerry, I hope you don't mind if I just deviate a little bit to something I wanted to say to Joe, in case he might still be listening. Would that be okay?
Sure, yeah. Make a quick comment for Joe. He might have us still tuned in.
Well, who did not recognize that name, Joe Scheidler, way back in the 70s and 80s, especially with Operation Rescue and Randall Terry here in San Diego, when the two of them came to visit at St. Bridget's Church in PB. And, Joe had mentioned that so many Catholics were involved with this movement, and that is absolutely true. But when we were in jail, let me tell you, there was no difference, and many converted or just became interested in the Catholic faith as a result of the passion of the Catholics, including Randall Terry, who converted to Catholicism as a result of just the dedication on behalf of Catholics in this movement. So I turned on the radio a little bit late, so I hope I'm not repeating something that was already said.
Well, thank you, Olga, for your passionate pro-life stance. Thank you for that. And I'm sure Stephanie would echo my sentiments on that.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Stephanie,
go ahead, Olga.
Here in San Diego, our Knights of Columbus at our church here in Pacific Beach, St. Bridget, they have taken the initiative in raising money for mobile ultrasound. And they have been very active for, I want to say, in this whole movement for four years at least. And we have about three of them now in the San Diego area. And they, as you might know, can be parked any place next to a college, near Planned Parenthood. And they have the ultrasound, and many girls come in for the test, the pregnancy test, and then they're asked if they want to have an ultrasound. And when they see the baby and they see movement, they hear a heartbeat, so many of them have changed their mind on having an abortion. And so my question for you, Stephanie, is are you hearing about this around the United States? Are you foreseeing how this could maybe change the pro-life movement in just almost maybe taking the place of a sign or something, because, you know, it's just so visible to the girl. And so there's my
mm-hmm.
question. Have
yeah.
you heard of this? And do you see this making a big change in our movement?
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for bringing up this important topic, Olga. And yes, I have heard of it and very much support the use of ultrasounds in pregnancy centers or the mobile ultrasounds near, as you say, college campuses or abortion centers. And I think what's makes it so powerful is that it's visual, and we are a visual culture. We think and learn visually, and as we, you know the old saying goes, a picture is worth a thousand words. And so there's one thing to be told, you know, within your womb is a baby, and it's quite another thing to see not just a baby in a womb, but your baby in your womb. And so I think as much as possible, you know, even where listeners are living perhaps in a community where their church or their Knights of Columbus organization is fundraising to put more mobile ultrasounds in the public square, that's definitely something that we should support. And it's important not only because it puts a picture in a woman's mind, but it really also helps humanize who that baby is. And it is a child that we can see who has a heartbeat, and we can see that heartbeat moving. And a lot of times that's just an abstract idea, if an idea at all, in the pregnant woman's mind. So when she can connect with her child on that level and see the humanity of her child, she's more likely to choose life, which is ultimately our goal. I would say I don't think that This approach should take the place of other approaches such as billboards and other signage. I think it should be an important complement to that because not everyone will come to a pregnancy center. Not everyone will go to a mobile ultrasound clinic. And so we do need to be able to reach the people that don't take advantage of that great tool. And that's where the other approaches of the pro-life movement are very complementary. So great point. Thanks, Olga.
Yeah, thank you, Olga, for the call. 888-318-7884. It is a pro-life open forum this hour on Catholic Answers Live with Stephanie Gray. We will continue with your calls. Mary in Jacksonville, you're going to be up next, so don't anybody go away. We'll be right back.
Hang on. We'll be right back with more Catholic Answers Live.
Hi, this is Trent Horn, and I'm here with a very special offer for all of you who are interested in standing up for the rights of the unborn. January is Pro-Life Month, and to get as many people as possible involved in the pro-life cause, we're making my book, Persuasive Pro-Life, available for just $5 a copy. That's a savings of over 70%. I wrote this book specifically with you in mind, to help you engage in sustained and meaningful dialogue with the goal of persuading others, to help you to change people's hearts and minds, so that together we might build up a pro-life culture, one person, one conversation at a time. To get your copy of Persuasive Pro-Life, How to Talk About Our Culture's Toughest Issue, for just $5, call 1-888-291-8000 or go to the shop at catholic.com.
Hello, my friends. This is Catholic Answers President Christopher Check, and I'm here to tell you about a unique resource just out from Catholic Answers Press. One of the ways Jesus answered his critics was to use their own words against them, showing how even the enemies of the faith admitted crucial facts that undermined their own positions. And it's been that way through the ages. It's proved impossible for those out to destroy the faith to mount their attacks without tripping themselves up and inadvertently testifying to the truth of what they're trying to destroy. In his new book, Hostile Witnesses, How the Historic Enemies of the Church Prove Christianity, renowned author Gary Machuda looks at dozens of Christianity's most notorious foes from biblical times to the present day and draws from their antagonistic words and deeds surprising testimony to gospel truths. Rich in research and written with clarity and force, Hostile Witnesses is a unique contribution to Catholic apologetics and one that speaks with special urgency to a modern world in which the faith is under attack like never before. If you love apologetics, you need to order your copy of Hostile Witnesses today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at catholic.com, or asking for this book at a Catholic bookstore in your area.
Call now with your question. 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Well, while we're on the topic of mentioning good resources, again, just a quick reminder about Trent Horn's book. It is called Persuasive Pro-Life, How to Talk About Our Culture's Toughest Issue, which would be abortion. And Trent has spent years and years out on places like college campuses and street corners and dialoguing and sometimes debating, and sometimes I'm sure the temperature rose a little bit in some of those discussions, at least maybe not on Trent's part, but he really likes to lay out for you in this book ways that you can keep your cool and really be persuasive in talking with someone who might not see the truth of the pro-life position. And the beautiful thing is that Catholic Answers is making this book available at over 70% off the regular price. Copies are $5 a piece right now. And so if you want to get a hold of this and maybe hand out a few copies as well, you can afford to do that at this price. Visit the shop at catholic.com or call 888-291-8000. As we go back to your calls for Stephanie Gray, any pro-life question that you have, Mary in Jacksonville, as promised, listening on Queen of Peace Radio, you're up next. Hi, Mary.
Hi. How are you guys? How are you doing? I just want to say thank you, Stephanie, for all of your wonderful work. I have listened to a couple of your talks, and I've cried. I've recommended them. The pro-life group that I'm with here in Jacksonville, we're using that as a template for other presentations. So we adore your work, and we're so grateful for everything that you're doing. You're welcome. We need more people like you. My question kind of stems from that. I personally want to be involved working as a pro-life advocate on a full-time basis. And I've gone to galas and fundraisers and conventions. I went to March for Life for the first time last year. It was absolutely amazing, despite the blizzard. I've kind of toggled in and out of pro-life work since I was in my teen years. It's something that I do want to dedicate my time to on a full-time basis. And I've been networking heavily in the past couple of years. My question is, how does someone like myself kind of support themselves in this area? I know you probably get that question a lot. And for the people that I've asked, it's almost something that's uncomfortable for them to answer. So you don't have to specifically guide me in one direction or another, but just on a general basis, how does someone engage full-time in pro-life advocacy, even if it be, you know, doing outreach similar to what you're doing? Personally, I would like to intervene within the school systems and help with school boards, try to see if pro-life initiatives can be instilled in place of those that Planned Parenthood influences in our public schools. Kind of working on the back end that way is something that I really have a heart for. I really enjoyed the movie Hush about the ABC link, the abortion breast cancer link. I want to get that movie shown as many places as I possibly can. Because I think people deserve to know this information, and shorthanding them is almost an assault in a sense. I don't know how to start, and I'm not taking this lightly, so any suggestions that you can have, I really appreciate.
Sure. Well, certainly we need more people working full-time in the pro-life movement. So I'm encouraged, Mary, that you're very much feeling drawn to that. And I'm reminded when I was an 18-year-old college student, I heard up in Canada an American pro-life speaker, Scott Klusendorf, who had been brought to a conference that I was attending. And he said, there are more people working full-time to kill babies than there are working full-time to save them. And it was really upon hearing those words that the Holy Spirit convicted my heart that I was called to be one of those people working full time to save babies. So how do you do that? I mean, in terms of if I understood you correctly, how do you support yourself if it truly will be your full time job? Your kind of work hours will be spent for the pro-life movement is to oppose to another job. Obviously, yes, compensation is very important so you can live as well as do this work. And so what I would encourage you to do is connect with a pro-life organization that you feel is doing work that most matches the skill set, the talents, and the interests that you have, and then see from them whether they fundraise enough on their own to be able to hire you, or whether they require you to fundraise your own salary, almost like a missionary organization. A lot of Catholic and Protestant college campus organizations will have campus missionaries who work to evangelize on campuses. And the way they have these full-time staff members is those people are trained in how to raise their salary, but they work for a specific ministry, so they fundraise through that ministry. So more and more pro-life organizations are doing that. And so I would encourage you to focus not so much right now on how will you support yourself, but where is the Lord calling you? And then find that ministry and then work with that ministry to see, do they require you to fundraise yourself or not? And then in terms of that discernment, you know, I think the obvious starting place is from prayer, making sure we're hearing the Lord's voice, what he's calling us specifically to do. St. Bernard has a great illustration in which he says we are to be reservoirs, not channels. And by that he means a channel, the water just flows through really quickly. And he said that's like the busy soul who looks at how the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And so they take it upon themselves to do all the labor the other laborers aren't around to do. And they are busy, 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 going, 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 and they never take time to pray. And they become a danger to the very ministry work they want to do, the very apostolic activity they're supposed to do. So instead of being a channel where water is just rushing through, he says we're to be reservoirs. And a reservoir fills up with water And then the excess overflows. So that is like the person who is right ordered in their apostolic activity, starting with the foundation of prayer. And once they fill up with the insights of the Holy Spirit, that then overflows into their apostolic activity. So to take time going to adoration, increasing your daily prayer so that you can be filled with the Holy Spirit and begin to get insights as to where the Lord is drawing you specifically. Then seeking the counsel of a spiritual director or some person who can give you counsel and an objective kind of outsider's opinion as you wrestle with your various thoughts and experiences about this discernment. And the third thing would be to test the waters by approaching different arms of the pro-life movement, maybe pregnancy centers or an educational organization or a group that works politically, and see as you start to get exposed to these different organizations where you feel the most drawn. So I can tell you, for me, it's been very clear that my draw is to the educational arm of the movement, to really teach and form others. And that has just been confirmed. And so while I value the work of pregnancy centers and I value the work of the political movement, I know my place is very much educationally. And that comes from being involved in all three areas and getting a taste of what it's like. So I encourage you to do the same. I hope that helps.
Okay, Mary.
That is wonderful. Thank you so much.
All right.
You're welcome.
God bless you, Mary. Thanks for being open to being called into some aspect of pro-life work, and we appreciate you calling Catholic Answers Live. Over to Will in Chicago. Will, thank you for calling. You're up next with Stephanie Gray. Hi, Will.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call, and thanks, sure, Stephanie, for all your great work.
You're welcome, Will. Thanks for calling.
Thanks. I have a question. Is today the Day of the Innocents? Somewhere around this date?
The Feast of the Holy Innocents was, I believe, December 28th.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Well, I have a sort of an ethical question. If that were to happen today, where Herod's troops came in and started slaughtering innocents, of course, we would be compelled to defend those babies or infants, toddlers, and take arms against those soldiers. I personally probably wouldn't. I'd be too scared and worried about my reputation or whatever, my being thrown in jail. I'm a cowardly person. But if we take the same scenario and put it in today's idea of abortion being very a similar concept to the day of the slaughter of the holy innocents, wouldn't we be compelled to stop the arm of the doctor in a similar way? I understand we can't go off to the mothers, but the doctors are slaughtering the innocents, and even if it were 5 days before they're born, nobody would say anything to defend the baby. Nobody would, but a day after, of course, everybody would be up in arms if anybody were trying to kill a baby. So what is the difference? And why are we asked as Catholics to take a very passive role before they're born and just protest and such, which you're doing a wonderful job. But why are we not being more active? And isn't it our duty to stop these doctors? Thank you.
Okay, well, thanks for your question. Certainly, it's a fair question. I think provides a bit of an analysis here. When you say, bring up the case of Herod killing, obviously, 2-year-olds, and you say you take that same scenario and apply it to abortion happening today, there is always, whenever we make comparisons, things which are similar and things which are different. So what is similar about abortion and the killing of the holy innocents is that the victims were fully human and made in God's image and have the same right to life that you or I have. That's similar. But there is an important difference. And the difference is the context or the situation in which these children are in. In the case of the preborn child, they are in the womb of their mothers and cannot be taken out of the situation of danger the way a 2-year-old could be taken out of a situation of danger. If you know, I'm hearing that music, Will, and you know what that means? We're going to have to go to a break, but I'm going to continue my answer to you after the break, and I'll let Jerry take over here.
All right. We will have more from Stephanie for you, Will. in Chicago. On the other side of the break, this is for our affiliates. So we got Marty in Napa and Gregory and Brian and Spencer. All of you will get on the program today. It's Catholic Answers Live. Don't go anywhere.
This is Bishop James Conley of the Diocese of Lincoln. Keep it right here on Catholic Answers Live.
What are miracles, and why does God work them? How can I believe in miracles if I've never experienced one? Aren't miracles just something pre-scientific people made up to explain what they couldn't understand? 20 Answers Miracles unpacks the nature of miracles, their appearances in Scripture and history, how the Church evaluates them, and ways to answer doubters who say they're mere superstition. 20 Answers Miracles is part of the 20 Answers series from Catholic Answers, offering hard facts, powerful arguments, and clear explanations of the most important topics facing the Church and the world, all in a compact, easy-to-read package. Visit shop.catholic.com today and take a look at this exciting new series from Catholic Answers Press.
Was the early Church Catholic? Apologist Matt Nelson tells you why to be deep in history is to cease to be Protestant in the latest issue of Catholic Answers Magazine. It's 2017, a time of new beginnings, and we're doing our part by bringing you lots of great articles to build up your faith. Now is the time to subscribe to the best Catholic apologetics magazine anywhere by calling 888-291-8000 or going to catholic.com. With engaging new articles by some of the top Catholic thinkers today, from Carlo Broussard, looking at the doctrine of free will, to Kenneth Hensley with tips on evangelizing the atheist. This is another great issue chock full of great articles to inform and build up your faith. Don't wait another moment to subscribe. Call 888-291-8000 or go to catholic.com right now to get subscriptions for yourself and those you love. Share the faith. Defend the faith. Catholic Answers Magazine. From Catholic Answers, the most trusted name in Catholic apologetics.
You are tuned in to Catholic Answers Live. Jerry Escher filling in. Great to have with us Stephanie Gray on this hour of the program. Stephanie is a seasoned and international speaker, mainly on pro-life issues. Her book, Love Unleashes Life, Abortion and the Art of Communicating Truth. You'll find that at stephaniegray.info. And she is answering any questions that you would like to raise about any pro-life issue, any question. 888-318-7884. And Stephanie, before the break, you were answering Will with regard to, why don't we, take a little bit more aggressive action to stop the killing of unborn children, since we would do that if it were someone going around, say, taking the lives of 2-year-olds or 5-year-olds.
Mm-hmm. Yes, important question. So to carry on from what I was saying there, Will, hopefully you're still tuning in here. One of the points that I think is important is to remember, even if you look at the principle of self-defense or defending another person who's under attack, you're only allowed to use the amount of force necessary to stop an act of aggression. So let's say, a 2-year-old is under attack. It may be possible that you can separate the 2-year-old from the situation in which they're being attacked without using any force at all to the attacker. It's more about just swooping in and taking the child away. But even if you did use force in the aggressor attacking a 2-year-old, again, it can only be the amount of force necessary to stop the act of aggression. And before the break, I talked about how there are similarities and differences with the scenarios that you gave. And as I was leading to, one of those differences is that we can't just swoop in and take the preborn child out of the aggressive situation the way we could with a born child. And moreover, even though the abortionist is the one committing the act of killing, an abortionist would not kill a single child if it weren't for the mother asking him to and laying her body down and consenting to him vilely entering her body to dismember her child's body. So in this kind of situation, we see where the analogy that you gave begins to break down, and we realize, okay, I actually need to reach the mother because it is her consent that is causing the child to be killed.
But as much as she, in her attitude of wanting the abortion, is a threat to her child, I can't actually separate her child from her. So we see how it's different, and that is why we therefore respond differently. And instead of using weapons of mass, I often like to say we need to use weapons of mass instruction. We need to seek to persuade and convince this woman to not lay her body down, to not go to that abortion clinic, to see the humanity of her preborn child. And as a result of understanding that and understanding what abortion will do to her child, to use instruction to convince her not to kill her child. And so we respond differently because it is different. So I hope that was helpful, Will.
Yeah, thanks, Will, for joining us today on Catholic Answers Live. Great to have you a part of the show. Over to Marty. Marty is in Napa, California, beautiful Napa area in Northern California. Hi, Marty. How can Stephanie help you?
Yeah, it's a little wet here right now, but it's still beautiful.
Always, isn't it? Yeah.
It was a good call you had with the young lady before wanting to get into pro-life, and that was very inspiring to hear you guide her, so I'm definitely going to get your book. My question is, do the people, we have an abortion clinic here, and there's always people out front who are pro-life. Do you think it's necessary for those people who are out front to get the proper training on how to talk to these people?
Absolutely, Marty. Great question. And yes, I mean, when we are trying to use, further my last phone call answer, when we're trying to use weapons of mass instruction, we want to make sure we know how to use them well. How do I really reach people? Because we don't just want to proclaim truth for the sake of proclaiming truth. We want to proclaim truth for the sake of that truth setting people free and actually resonating in their hearts and minds so that they feel, think, and behave differently as a result of encountering that message. So in my work, I've come across a number of different great pro-life strategies, and I highly recommend the work of Sidewalk Advocates for Life. I have encountered the work they do at the 11th hour, right outside abortion clinics, and they really focus on forming their volunteers, their sidewalk counselors, to know the right things to say at the right time to say them, as well as the right questions to ask to not only be imparting information, but to be drawing out information. What is guiding this woman to go into that clinic? How do I seek to understand? How do I let her know I'm here to help and I want to listen and I want to give her an outlet to speak so that we can remain in conversation, and hopefully that's going to lead to conversion. So, I mean, there's lots more that could be said about the nitty-gritty of what to do, but I think that kind of gives a general overview, connecting with Sidewalk Advocates for Life, getting properly trained in general, and certainly, as you mentioned, my book gives a lot of good tips for the kinds of questions to ask and analogies to make so that when we communicate pro-life truth, it actually is received in the heart of the people we're encountering.
One more quick question.
Sure.
Do you think there is a need, like I've been a organizational consultant, but I would like to be the person who trains the people on the sidewalk. Do you think there's a need for someone to come along and say, okay, I'm going to, you know, I read Stephanie's book and I've done some, you know, I've gotten some training. Now I want to train you people. Is there a need to have someone to train the people that are out on the streets?
You know, I'm sure there is, but the best way to find out how to best use your talents and passion and insights, which is great, to or for this service would be to contact organizations that are directly doing the 11th hour ministry, which actually isn't what I do. I do education before that kind of final moment of crisis outside the clinic. But the two organizations that come to mind, as I mentioned, Sidewalk Advocates for Life, as well as 40 Days for Life, which was founded by David B. Wright. And they do a lot of work, again, front lines work. So connecting with either or both of those organizations and saying, hey, I hear you do great frontline work and that you already form people. I'm wondering if you need more formators, and I would love to be trained to be able to train others. So either of those groups, I think, would be a great starting point for you, Marty.
Okay, Marty.
Much.
All right, thank you. 888-318-7884. Pro-life questions of any sort being accepted today and answered brilliantly by Stephanie Gray. And next we're going to go to Gregory in Monticello, New York. Hi, Gregory. Thanks for calling.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
My lately seeing some shows that depict people who have gone to heaven and come back, children especially, who meet their sisters they never knew that were miscarried. My question is, where are the aborted and miscarried souls? Where do they go? The shows that I've been seeing seem to corroborate from different sources the same answer, that their souls, being persons, are in heaven, and they develop there, just the way all souls develop in heaven from stage to stage, from glory to glory. It's just that they get there a lot sooner.
Mm-hmm. You know, good question, Gregory. And obviously, from the Catholic perspective, we believe in baptism and the centrality of baptism. Of course, there's baptism by water, there's baptism by blood, which would be martyrdom, there's baptism by desire. And we also trust in the mercy of God. And he knows our hearts, and he knows these children and the circumstances in which they lived and died. So although we can't say with 100% assurance, we know for sure where these children are, I think we can say with confidence that we trust in the mercy of God and are hopeful that they are heaven, in heaven, rather. And I think for a more, you know, detailed look at salvation, certainly the Catholic Answers website is a great resource, which will talk about baptism by water and desire and blood, and so forth. So hopefully that gives you kind of a general overview.
Right. I would think it's by blood, like a type of martyrdom, really.
Yeah. I think that's certainly a possibility. Again, the good Lord kind of knows how he views the state of their souls. But again, I trust in the mercy of God and his love for these children.
All right. Thank you very much for the phone call on the program, Gregory. We appreciate that very much. Stephanie mentioned Catholic.com, and I have logged on. I log on frequently, and if what I'm seeing is the launch of the new Catholic.com, folks, you want to be sure and check that out. They've been working on that for quite a while. And so there is a brand new look at Catholic.com. If you go there, I certainly encourage you to do that. Also, to get Trent Horn's book, Persuasive Pro-Life, just $5 a copy, a subtitle, How to Talk About Our Culture's Toughest Issue. Trent, an apologist at Catholic Answers, and you're going to save over 70% on each copy of his book that you buy. And you can get yours by visiting the shop at Catholic.com or calling 888-291-8000, 888-291-8000, or again, going to Catholic.com. Get our final short break here in this Wednesday edition of Catholic Answers Live, and then more answers to your questions by Stephanie Gray. Stick around.
Stay with us for more Catholic Answers Live.
Go forth and preach the good news. It's not just a suggestion. If you want to take more seriously the command of Jesus to share the gospel with those around you, consider joining St. Paul Street Evangelization. It's a grassroots organization that brings the Catholic faith to the streets in a non-confrontational way. Visit our website, www.streetevangelization.com, to learn more. And don't forget to like us on Facebook. It's time to do our part.
Lila Rose says, Trent Horn really knows how to get people thinking and talking about abortion. Persuasive Pro-Life is an invaluable handbook for anyone who wants to become more skilled at defending the humanity of the preborn. Order your copy of Persuasive Pro-Life today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the online shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Catholic Answers Live is brought to you in part by CatholicSingles.com, the website for Catholics who want to meet others who share their faith and values for faith, fellowship, and love. You can learn more at CatholicSingles.com. Catholic Answers Live thanks CatholicSingles.com for their generous support.
The Catholic Answers Minute. I'm Father Vincent Serpa. In Mark 1:29, Jesus entered the house of Simon and Andrew, where Simon's mother-in-law lay ill with fever. He approached her, and as he took her hand, the fever left her, and she served them. After sunset, the whole town was gathered at the door, where he drove out demons and cured the sick. Early the next morning, while he was at prayer, Simon and the others came to him with the words, "Everyone is looking for you." He responded, "Let us go to the nearby villages, that I may preach there also. For this purpose I have come." Not only did he preach throughout Galilee, but he has visited you and me. He is preaching to us at this very moment through the word His church has made available to us. Everyone matters to Him. No one has a fever that He doesn't know about. Everyone is looking for Him, even if they don't know it. I'm Father Vincent Serpa for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
And we have Stephanie Gray answering pro-life questions this hour on Catholic Answers Live. Back to live calls in a minute. Stephanie, we had a caller, Spencer, in Omaha. We dropped him on the line. I'm not sure what happened there. He listens on Spirit Catholic Radio. But it is a very, very pertinent question. So I wanted to ask this of you and get your thoughts. Spencer says, my wife and I are medical students, and we are struggling with the general view that the pill, the contraceptive pill, is a medical necessity. How do we approach this as we do not want to prescribe the pill once we, once they become doctors?
Right. Well, I'm grateful that you read that out, Jerry, because the good news is that indeed Spencer and his wife are struggling and they don't want to prescribe the pill. So I just want to encourage you, Spencer, if you're still listening in, that you are right, that is something that you shouldn't want to prescribe and shouldn't prescribe. But yes, how do you work through this and explain this? So I think it's important, first of all, to look at the medical facts about the birth control pill, how it can possibly be abortifacient if it hasn't fully suppressed ovulation, which it doesn't always do. The birth control pill can impact the uterine lining, and we know that because women on the birth control pill have lighter periods than women not on the birth control pill, which is a sign that they have less uterine lining when on the birth control pill. And that's significant because if ovulation has occurred and if a woman has sex and the sperm fertilized the egg that was released, it's possible that that newly conceived human being may not be able to implant in the uterus and could bleed out in an early abortion. Of course, there are other concerns about the birth control pill beyond the possible abortifacient effect, which is the effect that it has on a woman's body in general. And there's a lot of published medical journals pointing out the harms to a woman that the birth control pill has. Moreover, there's the moral concerns that it suppresses the beautiful gift of fertility that God has given a woman. And God has chosen to give men fertility all the time. And He specifically chose to give women fertility only a small percentage of the time. And that fertility, therefore, is a gift that should not be suppressed, which the birth control pill does. There are natural ways to learn one's body rhythms, which isn't the rhythm method, which is the Creighton technology or NAPRO technology, of knowing the times one is fertile and when one isn't, and then using that naturally ordained fertility or infertility, using that information to then base one's decisions as to whether a couple has sex or not has sex based on the discernment of, you know, do we have serious reasons to avoid a child right now or not? So I just would encourage you and any listener who's in the medical field to know that there are many good reasons to be opposed to the pill, moral reasons, scientific and medical reasons for the harms it does to women, as well as the possible harms it can do to the preborn child. And if Spencer or anyone else listening is interested in the published medical journals, I have a multi-page Word document with references to all these medical journals. So if you just go to my website, stephaniegray.info, stephaniegray.info, that's Gray with an A, you can contact me from the website and I will happily send you information about the birth control pill and how to hold a firm stance against it while still meeting your patient's needs and putting the best interests of your patient first.
Awesome. Great stuff, Stephanie. Hope that helps you. Spencer, you and your wife will be in our prayers, definitely. We need more very solid men and women entering the medical field and holding firm to your principles and to really morality for that matter. So thank you, Spencer. And over now we go to Ed in Covina, California. Ed, thanks for waiting. You are now on with Stephanie Gray.
Yeah, hi to you both. I've been in debates with pro-choice people, and unfortunately, I target Catholics because I feel that I can touch on common ground and try to gain their allegiance. Mm. I'm not very successful, And I feel that one thing that is really impressive for me now and encouraging is whenever a new member of the administration is added by Donald Trump, they always mention that it is a pro-life individual. What I would like to see is a slogan to every church that says this is an anti-abortion facility. That way, these Catholics or our brotherly Catholics, the reason why I say Catholics, because those are the ones closest to us, they will know not to argue against the matter. Either accept it or deny it, but do not attempt to defend the pro-choice movement. Every church says this is an anti-abortion Catholic church. Why do you think the Catholic Church wouldn't do something like that?
So I think you raise an interesting point there, Ed. And I think what comes to mind is you are right that we need to be clear where the church stands on all kinds of moral issues, because Jesus commanded us to make disciples of all nations and to teach people all that he has commanded. So it's very important that our churches, our shepherds, be very clear what Jesus thinks about things like abortion. Ultimately, though, when we teach people all that God has commanded, we want to do it in a way that we actually convince them to conform their lives to Christ's commands. And so I think it's very important, for example, that our churches make reference to abortion frequently by offering post-abortion counseling. I think it's very important that abortion be preached from the pulpit and pastors to prayerfully discern how they can take the readings of the day that they should be preaching on, but how those readings can be tied into the topic of abortion and make the timeliness of that topic something that they preach on, to hold information sessions at the church to help people understand the church's teachings on abortion. So you're right that we need more and more our churches to be as clear as possible, but to make sure that the ways in which we're clear are done so that we actually win people to this conclusion, because you've experienced there's a lot of people who claim to be Catholic who are warming our pews who don't align with all the church's teachings. So that is a problem we need to solve. We just want to make sure our solution actually gets us our end goal, which is changed minds and people conforming to the church's teachings.
Okay, Ed?
I feel the church does enough. Any Catholic that is listening should know that it is incorrect. We have the Catholic bishops, we have the Archbishop, we have the Angelus magazine, we have all these resources that tell us that it's wrong. We have to be more specific. These are children of God that need some serious guidance. They have to be told very specific that this is wrong. We cannot walk around as if we're walking on eggshells. We have to discipline our children. I'm not saying to get aggressive in any way, but we have to be specific. It's gone too far. We're going on 50 million.
You're absolutely... Yes, Ed, you're absolutely right that we do need to be specific. It's just important that we're not just specific about what we believe, but also why we believe it. Because again, we want to keep these people in the church, but have them conform their lives to ultimately how God wants us to conform our lives. I would recommend that if you find, for example, your specific church, which you're attending, that your priest is not ever speaking on this issue, that there is confusion rather than clarity, to specifically work with him and tell him you want to help him and be a resource and support him in better proclaiming the church's teachings on abortion. And if all of us who are already rightly convicted work with our individual pastors and our individual churches, then we won't have this widespread problem that we do. So I hope you start working with your priest if you're not already.
Yeah. Thanks for your conviction, as Stephanie said, and your passion, Ed. We appreciate that a lot. Just for the sake of time, want to try to get to as many as we can on this pro-life open forum of Catholic Answers Live. We go to Sam, who is in, I believe it's Castile, New York. Sam, I hope I got that right. Welcome.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me. And
sure.
Yeah, it's Castile, New York, but that's okay.
Castile.
We hear in many different ways.
Sorry about that.
I've been very encouraged to listening to the station. Thank you, Ms. Stephanie, for all the advice you give. I'm personally a pro-lifer myself.
Great.
My question is basically in regards to men in particular, when it comes to the pro-life movement and speaking up for the unborn. I am one of three boys in my family, and I've often thought what would have happened if one of my brothers or even myself would have gotten our girlfriend or our wife pregnant, and what would have impacted on us if she decided to have an abortion to take away the right for one of us to be a father. And I've often prayed and thought about this issue specifically because I see in America here that we don't have that much, men in general don't have that much of a say in regards to the abortion issue. And it pains me to hear it. So my main question for you is, what is the best way for us to encourage young men to get involved and to speak up? Because the Bible tells us to, as men, to protect our women and children. And when men don't speak up on this issue in particular, we are harming women and children. And
right.
I know that a lot of...
Sam, we got about 2 minutes here, so I want to make sure that Stephanie has ample time for you.
Yeah, Sam, so if you don't mind, I'll just jump in now because of that ticking clock. So great question and great conviction you have, and you're right. Men ought to be speaking up because we have to remember when God made us male and female, he made us different. And that difference is to be complementary. That is a good and a beautiful thing. And so authentic masculinity calls a man to be a protector and a provider. And all too often, children are killed because their mothers have felt that they are not protected or provided by the men in their lives who were the fathers of those children. Now, I think, therefore, it's important that men in the pro-life movement in the church rise up and say, I want to be a witness of authentic masculinity, that I care about the vulnerable, I care about protecting others, and I'm not going to allow the radical feminist kind of left-wing agenda try to push me out of the movement and say I have no voice because I'm a man. I have a voice because I'm a human. That should be the response, first of all. This is a human rights issue, not a woman's issue versus a man's issue. When human beings' lives are in danger, we have a human responsibility to respond. But moreover, a man has a responsibility to be that protector for those who are weak and vulnerable, and therefore is not going to be kind of cowered into silence by the criticism of the other side, but instead say, it is tragic that some men have failed some women, and that you won't be part of the movement that's been a failure, but you're going to be part of the movement that's going to rise up, protect, and care for the vulnerable. So I encourage you and other men listening to really be the voice we need to protect the women and children who are being harmed by abortion.
All right, Sam, I hope that that helps. I'm sure that it does. And David in Phoenix and Michael in Billings, Montana, wish we had time. We were just up against that that ticking clock each and every day. In fact, there you hear the music. Stephanie, tell people again where they will find you and why they should get a copy of your book.
Yeah, thank you. If people go to stephaniegray.info, they can contact me and learn more. Stephanie Gray with an A, .info.
Okay, very good. And I am reminded by the powers that be at Catholic Answers to also encourage you to get a copy of Trent Horn's book, Persuasive Pro-Life, How to Talk About Our Culture's Toughest Issue. It is amazingly priced, reduced at $5 a copy. That's over 70% savings. This whole month is Sanctity of Life Month. Let us pray for the most vulnerable. You can get Trent's book at 888-291-8000 or at catholic.com. Tomorrow on the program, two more hours of a general Q&A open forum. I'd ask you to continue to pray for my sister Mary, who is in the hospital, a very, very tough situation right now. Her kidneys are failing, and I just ask you to pray that the doctors and God might intervene to give us a miracle. God bless.